So it was late in the afternoon, August 19th, 1958, when these 13 youngsters with Clara went to Cat's Drugstore.
That's correct.
At that time, I understand blacks could order food to go.
True.
But could not sit down.
Could not sit down. Or you could go in many restaurants, get your food, and eat in the back. And when I say the back, I mean outdoors. You could not eat in the facility. And that's the sad part. You could buy anything you needed in their store, but when it came time to eat, you could not eat in the store. Not only that, you couldn't go to the bathroom unless you were going to a separate bathroom. You think back and say, how much money did you spend to keep us separated? Not only did you have restrooms for blacks, you had to divide those restrooms male, female. So you just went through a lot of trouble to separate us.
Can you comment on these 13 youngsters?
Many of them lived right here in Oklahoma City. I know all of them. Some of them live now in other states. Barbara Posey became the president of the NAACP Youth Council, and she is a professor at university. I can't recall the name at this time, but you had Richard Brown, who was a nephew of Clara Looper. Of course, you had Marilyn Looper, her daughter. You had Calvin Looper, her daughter. Shelley Looper was not on the scene at that time, her youngest daughter. You also had a lady by the name of Lynzetta Jones. She's now Lynzetta Carter. You had Gwendolyn Fuller Mukes, Betty Germany. That was Mrs. Looper's cousin. You had the uncle to Kanye West, Portwood Williams Jr. It was his father, Portwood Williams Sr., who provided one of the vehicles to transport the youth downtown. These are persons who are still living here in Oklahoma City area. That's my memory right now, but for the most part, everybody's still here in Oklahoma City area, a few outside of the city in their walk of life. But growing up, becoming productive citizens took place with all of us who participated.
So on that day, they sat up to the counter and the waitress says,
we cannot serve you.
And Clara says, we'd like 13 Cokes,
please. We want 13 Cokes. They refused. In fact, I would imagine they got so nervous they didn't know what to do, because it hadn't happened where you just wouldn't get up after being asked to leave because we're not going to serve you. I'm sure everybody panicked. And again, we didn't have social media so that we could share what was going on at that time. But the word got out, and that was the beginning.
But it was Clara who had to stand firm, 13 Cokes, please, and probably asked several times, we want 13 Cokes, please. It was her strength.
That's right.
That was displayed to these 13 that we are going to stay here.
That's right. And let me also say, Clara Looper was the type person. We had rules and regulations when we participated in the sit-in movement. Let's say you said, well, we're not serving you. Well, I couldn't say I'm going to curse you out because of that. We had strict rules and regulations on how to behave, how to conduct ourselves under these circumstances. Because of that, we never had the kind of violence like you had in some of the other states when they were trying to integrate facilities. We didn't have dogs sicked on us. We didn't have water hose on us. We did have those who decided, well, we'll just spit on you. They didn't do it to me. You did have those who decided, well, I'm going to pour water on you. We did have those who would call you bad names. But we had been instructed how to react, and we were not to be violent.
The police were obviously called to this original sit-in, and they were there just to...
Well, they were there to make sure we didn't cross the line. The one thing that we learned later, Miss Looper had a relationship with the Oklahoma City Police and with the police chief, and they would know what we were going to do. And because of the relationship, he would instruct his policeman on how we were to be treated. Because of that relationship, nothing got out of hand. And I believe that was the key to our nonviolent city and movement here in Oklahoma City. Now, when you think about the 13, when you are a child, you are an obedient child. Because if Clara Lupa told you to do something, you were to obey that. And I tell people today, I was more afraid of Clara Lupa than I was the sit-in movement. She was a strict disciplinarian person.
The ages ranged of those 13 from?
From 7, because I know one of the ladies, and she has been with us in this Children of the Civil Rights documentary film, Ayana Nyuma. She was 7 at the time. She participated. Her mother and Clara Lupa were best of friends. So she was one of the original ones, as well as she had a sister by the name of Linda Pogue. I believe that's her name. So I would say probably from 5 to 15, 16 years old.
That day then, that evening, actually, the 13 just sat there.
Right.
And none of these children would dare get up and leave because Clara was standing
there.
That's
right.
And that's what kept them there.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So then they did that, I guess, until closing time.
Until closing time. And if my history is correct, they opened their doors to blacks in 3 days.
They did relent, yes. As a matter of fact, they had 38 outlets in Missouri, Kansas, and Iowa.
That's correct.
So they relented in all of those stores.
That's right. And I tell people today, you don't have Katz Drugstore. In fact, now you don't have any stores called drug stores. They're all called pharmacies. So we have the CVS, the Walgreens, et cetera, et cetera. But you wonder today if any of the family members of Katz, if they're still around, so that you can get a sense from them what role they played in opening the doors to eating establishments here in Oklahoma City and in other parts of the United States. Because someone made the decision with Katz Drugstore, the right thing to do is to integrate our restaurants. And they did that, which opened the doors for some others, but many others became pretty stubborn too.
Right. They relented earlier than some of the others did.
They did. Correct.
Were there any black police officers?
At that time, I would imagine we didn't have any. But I can't recall the date that Oklahoma City Police hired their first black officer.
I can only imagine that day when the 13 sat down, what whites said to these kids,
right.
Spit, coughed in their face, and they just sat there.
Those were our instructions. Do not retaliate.
That shows, again, how strong a leader Clara was.
That's right.
Some child could have started crying and just run out of there, and it would have been understandable. The 7-year-old could have just run.
That's true. But there is strength in numbers. If only one, that could have happened. But you had 13 children together. To me, that was unity. Miss Lupa had some other adults with her, like I said, Portwood Williams Sr., Ayana's mother, were with the children. They were not there unsupervised. When we participated in other years, we had adults who participated alongside of us. What was unique about the sit-in, they preferred to use children instead of adults. Because if it happened to adults, they probably wouldn't just say, oh, I'm going to take this. They would probably be ready to retaliate quickly. So using young people worked out to the advantage of the city and movement time.
We must also remember the idea came from children.
That's correct.
And it came from a youth council, so it grew out of that.
That's right.
It kind of made sense then to also use children.
Use children. The seed was planted because of children saying, let's do this. We found out that we were the first nonviolent on the books in the United States. And they have that now as a record because at first we thought it was Greensboro, North Carolina. And history showed that it started in Oklahoma City.